my mind this morning. And then the Lord just said, you sit out of the way, I'll take care of it. So I did. So tonight, I'm going to go in one of the directions that I had on my mind this morning. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter number 15. 1 Samuel, chapter number 15. Now, while you are turning in those scriptures, let me give you just a little bit of the background that is leading up to this. Samuel was, and if you go back to chapter number 12, and the people of Israel wanted a king over them. They did not want to listen to what God said. They did not want him over them. They wanted a king they could see, just like the other nations had. In chapter number 12, the Bible said there in verse number 13, I believe it is, Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. He said, if you'll fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord shall do before you. What had happened, they had rejected God. They didn't want God over them. They wanted a king. So God said, okay, I'll give you a king. But he gave some stipulations. If you'll fear the Lord and serve him, if you and that king will just fear the Lord and serve me, he said, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, it's going to be good with you. But if not, if you won't, God's hand's going to be against you as it was against your fathers. And then that was the day of harvest. And Samuel said, I will call the Lord unto the Lord, and he's going to send thunder and rain that you might perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord and asked in a king. He wanted them to know, I'm going to give you a king, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to show you your wickedness in asking for a king. They wanted a man. They didn't want God. They wanted a man. Do you know that a lot of people in the day and hour we're living in, they don't want God to show up in the service. They want a man. They want to hear something that is pleasant to the ears and that will smooth over things, and they want to feel good when they come to church. Well, I'll tell you what, at a lot of churches in the day and hour we've been living in, they have gone to singing, and that's about all they do. I'm talking about they churches, it doesn't matter what the sign is on the door. It's all about singing. Now, I have to be one to admit, I like good singing. I do. Hey, I tell you what, I love to have somebody get up and have God on them and sing. And I mean, man, it's such a blessing to hear good singing. But it's not all about the singing. It's not the singing. It is the preaching of the Word of God that touches hearts and souls. Well, they were wanting what everybody else had. They didn't want God. They wanted man. So man has got to the point now that, I mean, it is, to me, It is a sinfulness because God gave a description of the man of God, of the priest, of what they should do and how they should act. And now you see them coming in. They're standing in a pulpit with a pair of shorts and t-shirt on. No pulpit. They move them out and just sit there on a stool or stand behind a little podium. We've got to the point we think that God is not high and almighty. Here we find that this leading up to what's about to take place here, we find Samuel said, I'm going to show you how wicked you was. And it was a time of harvest. And he said, I'm going to pray that God will send a thunder and a rain that you might perceive and see that your wickedness is great. Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto our sins this evil to ask us a king. See, we do not think in the realm of our mind as that day. In that day, man of God would pray. God would show them how wicked it was. And the people feared. They admitted, oh yeah, I've sinned. Pray that we not die. Forgive us. They admitted to their sin when the fear of God come on them. I believe in the day and hour we're living in, we need some of the fear of God. In churches. I mean, these people out here that curse God and say all kinds of blasphemy against God. We need some fear of God in our day. And folks, I'm afraid to say it, but it's a coming. We just ain't seen it yet. Oh, there's going to be the thunder. There's going to come the rain. There's going to come. But when it comes, it's going to be too late because people have ignored what God said. They did not listen to God. They rebelled and they asked for a king. So Samuel, he presented them a king that God allowed them to have. And so Samuel here had gave him Saul. And Saul began to take his place on the throne. One thing I notice about Saul, if you look in chapter number 13 and verse number 11, it's going to tell us Saul don't get a good foot in things as he starts. The Philistines were gathering and they were going to fight against them. Well, Samuel was going to come and pray and offer up sacrifice, and the men was going to go to battle. Saul got impatient on Samuel. Samuel was a little late. So Saul here in chapter number 13 and there at verse number 11, he got anxious. So he said, the man of God ain't around, just bring me some sacrifice. And said, I'll offer up a sacrifice and I'll call on the Lord and I'll do this. Samuel wasn't there and he wasn't going to wait. So they brought him. And then when Samuel comes to the scene, he says, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, notice what he said, I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." You understand? He took the place of the man of God. God did not put up with all this childish stuff in that day. God did not let those things go on without punishment. Immediately Samuel told him, "You done foolishly." That it could have been set up, established. You could have had the covenant of God with you forever, but now you won't. In other words, he took a step so far, and that was it. And God said, "Okay, the kingdom's going. You're going to lose the kingdom because he would not be obedient." He said, "I forced myself. You didn't show up. I took control." Hey, we best let God do the talking. Let God do the telling, and be obedient unto what God says, and not be so foolishly. Today we're living in a day and hour that people are stepping up. You'll find that there are women stepping into the pulpits. And they're preaching. I say, "Well, I can preach this good as a man can. And we ain't got a man to preach, I'll preach." Well, there's only one problem with that. That's direct contrary to what the Word of God says. I've told you, I've had people ask me about it since I've been up here. I don't answer them. I just open the Bible, flip it over there, and say, "Would you read that?" They read that, and I say, "Now, what does that say?" I said, "Answer your own question. What does that say?" They sort of shake their head and don't say anything. You know why? They know that it's contrary to what the Bible says. But they think, "I'm just as good as anybody else. I can do it just like they can do it. What's wrong?" Well, there's one problem. I ain't got a problem with it, as long as God don't have a problem with it. But if God's got a problem with it, I got a problem with it. Amen? People are wanting to just take control of, they're taking control of the services, and they're just telling and preaching and doing things, proclaiming things that God never said. And that's contrary to His Word. And God does not bless it, and God does not honor it. So, "Preacher, I know those people, these churches, they've got thousands in their service. Thousands. They're taking in millions of dollars." Don't mean God's in the middle of it. It don't mean that at all. There's a lot of people that's wicked. That, man, they're getting all kinds of stuff. Hey, there's some drug dealers out here. They're dealing drugs, raking in money by the millions. If they lose one load and three gets through, they don't think nothing about losing $100 million. But does that mean they're saved or they're right? No. No. But Samuel here told Saul, "You've done foolishly. You missed it." And a lot of people one day are going to stand before God, and God's going to say, "You done foolishly. You rebelled against my word, and you taught the people the foolishness of this world." Not only they are going to die and go to hell, but they're going to have led the people in the wrong direction. Because people have got into this mindset now. Huh? It's all about singing. It's all about feeling good. It's all about doing this or that. All you got to do, believe there's a God. And then what he said, Jesus said, you got to repent. You got to be born again. Now, what takes place here, there's going to be a battle. Here in chapter number 14, Jonathan's going to fight. Saul is so adamant about some things. If you don't believe what I believe and you don't believe what I say, it doesn't matter if you're my son. You're going to die. He told those men that nobody should touch the food. They wasn't supposed to touch any food. Well, Jonathan went out, wrought a great battle. Jonathan didn't know what he'd said. And Jonathan had took a little honey and Otis was with him. Saul found out about him. And that was his son. But he's about to put him to death. He'd wrought a great victory. The enemies was going to overtake them and they'd all fled into the hiding places. But Jonathan wrought a great victory. And Saul was going to put his own son to death because he didn't do what he said. You know, there's families today that have had a way of doing things and their children don't fall in line with what they think and they would put them out. There's a lot of people that have got saved and birthed the family of God and the family kicked them out because they started serving God. Kicked them out. I've known many a young man that got saved and surrendered to preach, and their family kicked them out of the house because they didn't believe in that foolishness. Their own son or their own daughter, and they kick them out because you don't do what I say do, even though what they said was wrong. The people stood up. Just to tell you the end of that story, the people stood up and you know what they said? There's been a great victory wrought today in Israel and there'll not be a hair of his head touched. In other words, what they were saying is, you might be king, but you're not going to touch a hair of that boy's head. You know, that ought to be what happens in America. And this bunch of foolishness that's going on in America, people ought to stand up and say, enough's enough. But they won't do it. So we come to chapter number 15. And Samuel comes to Saul again. Saul's still king. He's still in his position. And God's going to give him something else to do. Test number one, he done failed it. He done foolish. But now God's going to allow him again something that he can do and show that he's learned from that first lesson. Boy, isn't it amazing that a lot of times it takes us 1, 2, 3, 4 times before we ever learn. Old Leo Price, our boss man, my good friend and boss man, old Leo, we'd go out and be doing something, and he'd come by and somebody'd be doing something they'd done before, and he'd done got on him, and he'd say, "Listen, buddy, even a monkey learns after a while." Well, you know, it looks like Saul would learn. He has not lost something small; he has lost the kingdom. Samuel said unto Saul, chapter 15, verse 1. And Samuel said unto Saul, "The Lord has sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman and infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass." Does anybody don't understand that? God said, those people, the Amalek, they come against Israel, they come against my people, wanted to destroy my people. And he said, I want you to go over there and I want you to utterly utterly, he said, destroy all they have. Now, that's pretty simple, isn't it? I mean, even somebody living in Pounded Mill, Virginia, can understand what God just said. Now, let's notice Saul and notice something that Saul does. Saul gathered the people together. He numbered them, had 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. He came down there. The Kenites, it was up there in that area. And Saul told him, he said, you need to get out of here. He said, you was kind to the people, the children of Israel, when they come up out of Egypt. He said, you need to leave lest we destroy you too. So they left. And they began to smite the Amalekites. Oh, they laid it to them. But in verse number 8, the Bible says he took Agag, the king of Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But, we always have that little three-letter word there that seems to pop up. Saul, now notice this is very important. But Saul and the people, Saul and the people, spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattens and the lambs and all that was good and would not, what? Utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, in other words, there wasn't no count, lame, halt, whatever, they destroyed utterly. This is a indirect rebellion against what God said. Saul was commanded to utterly destroy those people, everything. That's what God said. Saul did not utterly destroy. He saved the king alive and the best of everything. Could you imagine in Saul's mind here, boy? Listen, fellas, you know. It's all right. You kill these people over here and this and do that, and you kill them old scrubbies. But I said, man, look at all these fat sheep and fat oxen and all this good stuff over here. I said, hey, man, ain't no use wasting that. Sounded good, didn't it? That's what he thought. But notice what Samuel said to him. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. Boy, it grieved Samuel. It grieved him. And Samuel got up early in the morning, and they told Samuel that Saul had come to Carmel, and he had went down to Gilgal, and Samuel, he went on down. And he came to Saul. Boy, Saul seen him coming. He seen Samuel coming down the road, and he said, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the... I've done what God said, boy, I'll tell you what. He was just having the time, boy. He had a victory and had took all this stuff, and he said, I've done just what God told me to. But there's a problem here. An interpretational problem. Samuel said in verse 14 of chapter 15, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? What is all that? I hear, of all the cattle. What? He's jumping up and down, just having a good time. Hey, man, I've done what God said. I've kept the commandments, boy. Woo, ain't I something? Samuel said, what is the meaning of that? Notice what Saul says. And Saul said in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They. Now remember what I said to you. But Saul and the people. Now he turns around and says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said, say on. Samuel said, now listen to this. This is where Saul was when God went to him. He said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed the king over Israel? When they sought out, when the tribes came to pick out the king, the tribe of Saul was called. And when they said, well, where is the man? Saul hid himself amongst the stuff. He hid himself. God brought him out from nothing and placed him to be a king. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, that took them to sacrifice unto the Lord in Gilgal. I want you to look for a few moments at the interpretation of man. God says, and he said it very plain. He said it in a way that even a child could understand. And he gave him a plain command. He gave him a command that came from the man of God. He gave him something plain. It was not hard to understand. It was something that did not need to have a big interpretation made. But Saul, in his pride, in his own mind, in his thinking, interprets what God should have said. What he thought that would be pleasing to God. Man, in our day, in our hour, it's even in the pulpits. Men are saying this is what he should have said. Hey, if that's what God wanted to say, he'd have said it. You know what we're having is we've got people sitting in pews and churches, and they're interpreting what God said. The Bible teaches us that the Bible is of no private interpretation. God said it. That's what we got to do. You say, well, I just... How many times have you heard this? Well, preacher, I just don't believe it that way. I just don't think it means that. Or we all see something different. We all, you know, people's different. Yeah, people different, but God's Word's the same. But we have our own private interpretation of what God says instead of disbelieving what God said. But there's commands with what God says. God's presented His Word. He's laid it out in His Scriptures. We can take it. We can change it. We can cut out what we don't like. We can just pass over what we don't believe. But it don't change what He said. And there is a command that comes with it. And it starts all the way from the beginning to the end. It starts in the church house. It goes to the pew. It goes to the head of the family, the husband. It goes to the wife. It goes to the children. It goes right straight down the line. It starts in the Washington. And it comes all the way through the government, everything. I mean, God has laid it out how everything's supposed to operate. And if we don't want to change it, if we don't want to listen to it, and we want to change it, and we want to interpret the way we want to, we got trouble. That's why we got so much trouble in the United States of America today. That's the reason you can't put a Christmas, you can't put a manger scene up on a property owned by a town or government. Because they say there ain't supposed to be no, there's supposed to be separation of church and state. You know, they do not go back and look at anything. They take their own private interpretation. They have the interpretation, the mind says, well, I can celebrate my body if I want to. In other words, you can strip off your clothes and go naked if you want to. Well, you can, but that ain't what God said. God taught us through His Word that we're supposed to be covered up. From our shoulders, our neck, down to, and covered our thighs. But what do people do? Man, they're marching through the streets now. They're laying out on the beaches and they're doing everything. They're all over TV, all over internet, all over the news. What are you seeing all the time? People doing this, people doing that. And they want to show their bodies. They want to feel good about their bodies. Well, I'll tell you one thing: they're keeping the body covered up. No wonder there's so much perversion going on in America. No wonder there's so much perversion going on out here in the schools. No wonder there's so much, I'll go a step further, no wonder there's so much perversion going on in the churches. Amen. You dress like it's for sale, people are going to want. Huh? I mean, hey, that's just the way it is. People say, oh, I can't understand why somebody do that. Well, you shouldn't have been dressed the way you was. If you're hanging up an invitation sign, somebody's going to take advantage of it. You should. Hey, I've seen a lot of people. Men may look, and I've talked to men before, and I've had men to ask me questions about it because I'm a preacher, you know. And they said, preacher, I'll tell you what, that's a pretty woman just went through there. She said, is anything wrong with that? I said, there ain't nothing wrong with admiring their beauty. I said, you ain't supposed to lust over her. And there's a lot of people say, well, men is this. I hear this a lot of times. They say, oh, men, they just look at you. Don't matter if you got on a toe sack, my head to your toe. No. When a woman is dressed right, they notice. But when a woman is dressed wrong, they notice that too. And I'm going to tell you, I hate to say it, but they're going to look. They're going to look. The more you bear, the more they're going to look. Oh, but we can do. Yeah, we're interpreting things the way we want them to be and not what God says. God said cover up. God said the husband's supposed to be the head of the house. We say, women says, bless God, he ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm not humbling myself. I'm not doing what he said. I know. Your own private interpretation. That's the reason we're in the mess we're in. We've got different interpretation of what God's saying instead of what God said. So I want you to utterly destroy him. Saul come back and said, I did. I spared the kings. I spared all these cattle and all these sheep and whatnot. We decided we was going to give a sacrifice unto you. That ain't what God said. God said, that's rebellion. That's wrong. And God's saying it's wrong today and nobody's paying attention to it. Nobody's wanting to do what God said. Won't do what they want to say. Churches, denominations, it doesn't matter. Churches all over this country, they just want to do what they want and not what God wants. Folks, we're missing it. We're missing it. Doing what we want. Interpreting it the way we want to interpret. Oh, we'll get married and we don't like it in a few months. We'll just go our separate ways. Or why get married? We'll just live together and then if we get tired of one another, we'll just go our separate way. Isn't it amazing that you stood before somebody and gave a vow, gave an oath that you would take them till death do you part. But yet you won't keep that vow. God said it's better not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and break it. But we don't want to do what God says. So we have the home is in disarray. And when the home is in disarray, guess what? It floods over to the church. And the church becomes in disarray. And you say, I'm having problems in my home. Some woman says, me and my husband, we're having problems, preacher. I don't understand it. Well, are you doing what God said or are you doing what you want? Well, I ain't praying like I should and I'm not reading my Bible and boy, there's number one, you got a problem. Well, I know the Bible said this, but I just don't believe that. Well, that's a problem. So, you got a problem. A man says, preacher, I'm having a lot of problems in my life. Well, are you doing what God said over there in Ephesians? Are you loving her like Christ loved the church? Well, no. What? You got a problem. It's because you're not wanting to do what God said towards her, and she's not wanting to do what you say. I mean, what the Word of God says towards him, and you got a problem. I ain't going to whip my children. I don't believe you are to whip children. I believe that's cruel. You should never whip a child. I mean, you shouldn't do this and that. You ought to give them time out. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. Well, how's it going? Well, it ain't going too good. Well, I'll tell you why. You ain't doing what God said.
Amen. That's right.
Take a hickory tongue. Wear them out. Teach them right from wrong. But no. So we've got a problem. And it's growed. What's happening in our schools today? The teachers, there's so many teachers, they can't find enough teachers to teach. You know why? They go into a classroom that's already overloaded, and they got a bunch of little demons in there. You can't make them sit down. You can't make them be quiet. You can't do anything with them. You've got to send them to the office if you can't handle them. The office sits them down and talks with them and pleads with them to be good. And then they call the teacher in and say, what's the matter with you? You can't handle these little kids? I know when I was in school, when some of you was in school, you know what they did? You misbehaved. They had a ruler. They had a strap. And they'd bust your hide. And if you didn't behave, they sent you to the office. And when you got to the office, if they talked to you and that didn't do no good, they'd bust your hide. And when you got home and they found out that you was misbehaving, you got another hide busting. I didn't want to go home and tell my mama I got in trouble. Hey, listen. You say, well, how'd they keep y'all in line with that strap? Did it hurt you? It sure hurt when they was using it, but it didn't hurt me. I learned to respect authority at home, at school, and in life. But we don't want to do what God says. I'm not going to do that to my child. It'll hurt. It'll hurt him. It'll damage his mind. And no, what you're doing, you're damaging, really damaging that child. But we don't want to do what God says. So then we find that we're in trouble because it's just like Saul found out real quick. Samuel said to Saul, here in the scripture, hath the Lord, in verse 22, as great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Not only was his kingdom not established forever, but he has taken the throne away from Saul. Folks, we're living in a day and hour, and we wonder why we have so much problem. It's because we don't want to do what God says. Listen, just brushed. It's happening in the church house and it's happening at the house. And when we don't operate at the house what God says, then it flows over into the church house, and then the church house flows over into the world, and the world, and I mean, it just keeps it going. And man, we've got a mess. It's pretty bad when a lost man out here on the street knows more about how a Christian ought to live than a Christian does. Rebellion. We don't like it. We don't think it. I just don't believe that's the way it really. God didn't really mean that, you know. He'd like to have a sacrifice. So we're going to take his best and give it. And he's going to be happy with that because God, I mean, hey, you know, when we bring our sacrifice, we're supposed to bring the best. Well, God's going to like it because we're going to bring him the best. It didn't work that way because that ain't what God said. There's a lot of people today that are trying to get people into church, and they're trying to get people saved, and they're trying to do a lot of things, and they're doing it and saying, oh, we ought to love them, we ought to love them. It don't matter what they do, don't matter what they say, don't matter how they act, don't matter how they dress, it don't matter anything. Nothing matters, just get them in. Tell them about the love of Jesus. And everybody just sing, and everybody have a good time, and don't worry about nothing else. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot to worry about because that ain't what Jesus said. He said we're wicked, we're vile, we're sinners. He said if we don't repent, if we do not get born again, we're going to die and go to hell. We already condemned. But people don't want to believe that. Oh, no, not him. Man, he's a good old boy. He's a man upstairs. He loves everybody. He ain't going to do nothing like that. Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. I'm going to tell you something. I already knew if somebody told something I did and I done what I done wrong and it got back to my mom and daddy and it would get back, boy, you'd think they was like God. They knowed everything. Man, you couldn't do nothing. My kids used to tell me that. They said, I can't do nothing. I can't blow my nose. I can't go to town unless somebody tells you. Well, what do you think about Almighty God? He knows every step we take, every thought in our mind. But we think, nothing ain't going to happen. Well, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know when. I just knew it was. I don't know when God's going to say, all right, time for judgment. But it's coming. It'll come in individuals' lives. It'll come in that wife's heart, that husband's heart. It'll come in that child's heart, that mama, that daddy, that brother, that sister. It's going to come. Hey, listen, God don't overlook anybody or anything. Whether it's me as a preacher, whether it's you as a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, whether it's you sitting on a church pew tonight, listen, we can do as we please. We can act any way we want to. We can interpret any way we want to. But when we get out of the bounds of what this book says, it's sin and God's going to pay up. You might like a whipping. I don't like a whipping. I especially don't like God's kind of whipping because God knows what gets you. Somebody say, well, I'm going to take this away from him. I'm going to take that away from him. Well, back when we were little, we didn't really care. You take one thing away, we still had everything else. I mean, we knew how to get out here. We knew how to. Kids don't even know how to function in the day and hour we're living in. When we were little, we'd get outside. You didn't sit up in your room. I'll tell you that much right now. You didn't stay in your room 8 hours a day and play with some cell phone or play on the television or whatnot. You didn't just pile up in there and not do nothing. You worked. You had chores. You done things. But we'd go outside. Hey, man, you can't watch television. Big deal. Let's go outside and play. You could take things away from them. Say, well, you can't do this or you can't do that. Well, that wasn't no big thing. We just go do something else. And that's what people are today. Here's a ticket. Quit speeding. I flip that ticket back and gone again. Don't pay no attention. But buddy, when you get that letter in the mail, it says you're going to surrender your license. Uh-oh. Reality begins to come into effect. Have you ever rode with somebody that speeds everywhere they go? I mean, you know, they have no regard for the law. I don't like to ride with them. If I'm in a vehicle and you pull out in the road and it's on my side, I go to fussing at you right then. I said, listen, you don't pull out in front of somebody? You pull out when they're coming on your side. This is my side. But we have no regard for anything. And we're trying to change what this book says and interpret it the way we see it instead of what God says. Well, preacher, people see it different. No matter how they see it, it's what he said. How can you read what he said to Saul and interpret it any different? He told him plainly what to do. But Saul has his own interpretation. So what happened? God rendered the kingdom. He rendered the throne from Saul. Saul died in a vile way because he would never listen to what God said. He always wanted to change it. If you got family, maybe somebody sitting here tonight, you ain't wanting to do it God's way. Well, you're going to have a problem. And God's going to show up one day and judgment's going to come and you ain't going to like it because God knows what will really touch you. Maybe somebody sitting here tonight, you ain't doing what he says. Then you're going to have a problem with God. Because God don't look at you and say, well, I ain't going to hold that against him. He's going to make us give an account. Because we know what his word says. We know better than to use old filthy, vile mouth and use profanity. And if we just do that, oh, I know something. I mean, you know, we all got a little touch of temper and we all can do things. Something can happen and we can say something out of the way. If I stand up here and tell you I ain't never done it, I'm a lying. I mean, they spent some time. I said something I shouldn't. And I feel real bad about it. I'm convicted over it. And I had to get on my knees and ask God to forgive me of it. But I don't get out here and say, "Hey, Melvin, you're in with it. Listen, I heard Joe." I don't get out here around them and go to cussing and talking in a vile way. No, why? We know better. We know better. Or let's go down here and get us a beer. Let's go smoke a joint. Oh, I had a man one time at church. He's always inviting people to church. He never would come to church regular. And we'd have a revival meeting, and you know what he'd do? He would cut hay. He would try to get some of the men in the church to miss church, the revival meeting, and help him haul up hay. And they'd come back and tell me about it. I said, "What'd you do, preacher?" I scolded him bad. I said, "If you don't want to come to church and you want to lay out on God and you want to treat God that way, you go ahead, but don't you ever try to get any of our people to lay out a church and help you haul up hay. To go fishing with you or do something." I mean, my soul, folks. Even Nabal would have had more sense than that. And he is a fool. Interpreting what God says in our own way will only bring our downfall. Our downfall. Don't work. It don't work for this preacher. It don't work for you. And it don't work for the people in this world. Whatever God says, that's what we must do, or we must suffer the consequences. I'll say this and I'll close. When me and my wife got married, I said, we were married 10 years before I ever knew anything about what love was, because I wasn't saved. She wasn't saved. Once I got saved, I found out what love was because I met who love was. I started loving her the way God said love her. Did she love you the same? No. She didn't love me the way I was trying to love her. You know why? She wasn't saved. So she didn't know what love is about. And it took her getting saved and finding out what the love of God was all about. And then, boy, it began working, Brother Barry. We began to bond and drawing together. And I began to submit unto the Lord. And I began loving on her the way Jesus loves on the church. And you know what happened? I found out what happened. She began loving me back. Even when before she got saved, she noticed the difference in this old rotten, low-down scumbag of a husband she had. She noticed when I got saved, there was a difference in my life. Even though she wasn't loving me the way the Word of God says and the way I wanted, I still loved her the way He said. Because that's what he said to her. I wasn't going to say, "Well, if she don't love me, I ain't going to love on her." No, I did what God said. And guess what? It all began to work together. When we lined up with what God said. I got saved. She got saved. And then it began to come together. And 47 years later, we're still holding hands, riding down the road in the car. We still walk and talk. We still sit on the porch and laugh at each other. And we still love life together. And it's all because of Him. Not because of us. It's because we've done what the Word said and not what we interpreted. Because I'm going to tell you something. Man, you got your own interpretation of how you are to love your wife and how you are to treat your wife and how far you are to go. And women, you've got your own interpretation of how things ought to be. But if you really want her to work, you're going to do what he says. You're going to have to get your eyes on Him. And you're going to do what He says regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of it. Our children, people out here in this community, we've got to do what He says. It ain't going to work. You cannot go in a different direction than what God says and it work. Different interpretations, like Barry said about some of them guys up there at the mill and some of those drivers and whatnot, and they come in there and they say, I'm a Christian, and then go to cussing. I'm a Christian, but I don't have to go to church. I'm a Christian. They're doing this and that and the other. And a lost man up there saying, you know, I can tell the difference in you and them. Why? Because he's trying to do what God says. You're trying to do what God says. People see the difference. And it makes a difference. People know. Don't be a Saul and make your own private interpretation. Don't try to interpret what God didn't say. Just believe what God did say and do what God says, and everything will work together. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know a heart in here tonight, but it may not have nothing to do with something I said, but the fact God said it, and you are trying to interpret it a different way. It may be something you're doing on your job. It may be the way you're dressing, the way you're talking, what you're looking at. I don't think there's nothing wrong with looking at that preacher on TV. It may be what you're looking at on the internet, on the television, what your music you're listening to. It may have something to do in your life, something in particular. And you need to come to this altar and get on your knees before God and ask God to help you, because you're trying to tell God what He should have said. You're trying to go contrary. God knows your heart. You mind the Lord tonight. Say, preacher, I thought you was going to preach that this morning. Well, I did too. And God didn't see fit to do that. What about it tonight? Are you listening to what God says, or are you trying to interpret it your way? It ain't going to work, whether you're a young person, whether you're an old person. Say, this is the way I see it, and this is the way I want to do. Hey, it ain't going to work. You're asking for trouble. Saul said, I've done what God said. Samuel said, God said, and you didn't do what God said. You rebelled, and it's just like witchcraft. Rebellion is as witchcraft. You sinned. God stripped you of that. Samuel, notice something about Samuel. Samuel loved Saul. Samuel grieved over Saul. But when they parted ways that day, Saul and Samuel never come again together. God's hand was taken off of Saul. And a man become vile. He did not ever turn back. All those times that he would ask God, oh, I'm sorry. He'd tell David, I'm sorry, you're right. Saul strayed so far away. He even went to the one point, Saul went to a witch whom he had told the people to kill, every witch there was in that kingdom. But he went to a witch. and asked her. Isn't that something, boy? A man that was God had his hand on, and he turned so far away that he went to a witch for advice and asked her to do something for him. God spoke to your heart. God, help us tonight that we would do what this book says. We'd listen to this book and mind the Lord. Amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. Thank the Lord for you being here. Amen. Stick with the stuff. This